Welcome everyone to Compiler Construction in the summer semester 2020. This is a module that you can take if you are a bachelor of your sixth semester, or if you're a master student. It will earn you 5 ECTS credits, and what you should bring in order to be able to take this module is you should know basic programming from your introductory courses in Java. We will have our tutorial be given in Java exclusively. We don't use any other programming language, so please adapt to that. What we will base our lecture on is quite heavily the introduction to theory of computation, where a lot of the automaton theory and the grammars are introduced and the theoretical background is laid. Then we will have a few topics which have a border to operating systems and system software, particularly when we talk a little bit more about the technical details to which to compile in there. And well, of course, there's the lecture about, or the lectures about automata theory, which will always be beneficial to this one. There's other languages, mostly by our chair, that can get you deeper into the topic. Particularly, there is the virtual machines lecture, which is running in parallel to this one, which will be offering you a little more diverse idea of how to translate languages that are not just your plain procedural C-like language, but also like logical languages or functional languages, object-oriented languages, languages that have parallelism as main features and all that. Those are covered in the virtual machines lecture. Then there is the winter semester's program optimization lecture, which will take off from the state that you are in after you have heard this particular lecture of compiler construction. This will be about the middle part of the compiler, where you don't do any parsing of languages anymore, and you don't do generation of some target architecture dependent code, but you will optimize the data structures that you have in the middle of a compiler. So you will do things like removing redundant operations, rearranging code, and all that. Then there is the programming languages lecture, which is similar to the virtual machine lectures, an optional addition to the compiler construction. And this time this will cover the open topics in terms of front-end and source language features that are not covered in the standard compiler construction lecture, whereas the virtual machines does the same thing for like the back-end. Then, of course, there is the lab course compiler construction that serves for you to practice the stuff that you have heard in the lectures before. So, in terms of materials, what you get for being able to learn about compiler construction, of course, there is the lecture recordings that I do with this teleteaching tool. I will provide you with the slides beforehand. There is literature that you can use. Essentially, this will boil down to be one book from Wilhelm Seidel and Hack about compiler design, which you can get in the library, or I think there's also ways of obtaining that in an online fashion from the library. So there's that. This is particularly helpful for these plague-ridden times, of course. Then there are tools with which you can practice, like the code generation part, which is this VAM tool that you can get from our home pages. That is like a tool for the visualization of an abstract machine, where you can get an animation that modifies a graphical representation of the machine state for each of the instructions that is executed at that point in time. So that is what the VAM does. And then, of course, there's a few tools for generating components of compilers that are very close to what we do. Particularly, it's Java tools like JFlex and CUP, which is construction of useful parsers. And yeah, we'll see how far we can use them in our language context. So you might wonder how we can perform a lecture in these times now, and what I wanted to try for a long time by now is a thing that I've heard of long before, which is the so-called flipped classroom. What is a flipped classroom? This means that the slot in the timetables for homework and the slot in the timetable for the actual lecture are swapped. So, or flipped in that sense. So the lecture or lecture recording is to be consumed in the slot that usually the homework is done in, so at home, while in the slot where we usually had the physical lecture, we will now do something similar to a homework session, just that I'm also present there, and I'll be there for answering questions and discuss the current topics. We will be doing some practice on selected examples that add well to the topics that we currently work on, or even might be presenting further insights that are not directly covered in the lecture itself. So this is what the now virtual classroom session is all about. So the virtual classroom will be taken its time during Thursdays from 2 to 4, starting on April 23rd. And we will be using the TUMS or TUMS Informatics bbb.in.tum.de portal in order to organize that, as long as we don't find anything better for that. The lectures themselves, the modules from the lectures will be presented to you in form of recordings, which you can obtain at a particular URL, where usually all the teleteaching produced content will go to. And different to what we had in the past, we will not have like 90 minutes blocks of lectures, but instead I try to create smaller modules that are all just covering one particular topic, which you can then consume in case you want to know about that particular topic. So these will be presented as modules or lessons, and they are intended for yourself. So you will be getting those in advance in order to prepare for a particular virtual classroom in advance, a week before the actual virtual classroom happens. So this is to be prepared single-handedly within a week. I will try to not overload you. Instead, I'll try to put as much content out there as I had before with ordinary lectures. So this will be roughly around 90 minutes of content that you will get this way. And this will start on April 23rd. So April 23rd, you will get a few recordings delivered through the recordings platform, whereas in the virtual classroom, we will kind of discuss organizational stuff. I will repeat this particular presentation again in the virtual classroom for at least April 23rd, and we will be there for you to answer the questions that you might have on that. So, apart from that, there's of course still another matter, which is the tutorial. And that is a thing that will remain as you know it, except that this will be now in a virtual form. So, the tutorial is given Mondays from roughly 2 to 4. Concrete platform that is going to be used will still be figured out, depending a little bit on the experiences that other people have during this first week, and will be announced on the Moodle page for the course. What the tutorial will be about is an exercise sheet, which will be released a week in advance to be solved at home beforehand, offline in that case. And in the tutorial, we will discuss about the solutions, because as usual, there's not just one solution for exercise, but there can be several solutions. And you might wonder whether yours is a suitable one or whether you did something wrong. Also, there might be still further questions in addition to what you asked at the virtual classroom. So this is also what you can do during the tutorial. The tutorial will also be recorded. So if you have some things like connection issues or anything, you can find these recordings published depending on whatever the platforms offer, and can consume that in offline fashion. The first session of the tutorial will be quite late in the semester on May 4th due to, well, the actual content of the lecture being prepared for May 20th, what is it? For May, for April 31st, I think, something around that. Yeah, so we need to have some time between the lecture content and the first tutorial, of course. If you have any questions, the tutorial is given by Michael Schwarz, and you can reach him at the address that is given here. The tutorial and exercise sheets can be accessed via Moodle with the link that you find down there. One particular question that we get asked almost every time is about the exam. So for this event, we will have one exam in the summer, none in the winter, and the date will be announced by the Central Examination Committee. We don't have any influence on that particular date, and we will be notified at the same time as you can look it up. So yeah, we will be at the same position as you in terms of knowing when this thing is actually going to happen. So, with that out of the way, you might wonder what compiler construction is actually all about. So, a few words on that, so that you can get a rough idea whether you want to pursue this course or not. So, compilers are all about the way from program code to the actual execution of the code in order to produce some output out of some input. So usually what you get is some kind of high-level program and some input that you're interested on in terms of what the program makes out of that. And this is going to be the output that you're interested in. And there are several ways of achieving this problem. There's this concept of an interpreter, which just takes your program in terms of source code, applies it to the input, and in one big go creates the output in that sense. And well, this is one way of solving the whole problem. The other way is, like, you have the program, and since there's a lot of things to organize and to prepare in memory to compute beforehand, what you realize is, when you do a lot of interpreters, is that there's a lot of stuff that is redone over and over and over again during the execution of the interpreter. So you might wonder whether you get more efficient execution of the code if you prepare a little bit beforehand in an offline fashion, at least those parts of the problem that are the same all the time during the compilation for each run of the program. And if there are more of these tasks, this idea of having a compiler prepare some stuff for you is quite appealing. So in these situations, compiler acts as a as an eager interpreter of the program without an actual real input. So you don't have an input, you compute things that your program might need for any input that is given to it, and produces some kind of concise output code which contains everything that is needed in order to execute the program in a very quick way on whatever input comes on that. And this is then done on the machine with this, with a very small runtime engine in the background. So you take the code and the input and generate the output from there. So these are the two general pictures that there are for program execution, at least if you look back like 30 years or so. So these are the classical ideas of how programs get their executions done on some input. During the last 20 years, these kind of very black and whitish ideas of how compilers and runtimes would work were a little bit, well, broken into more grayish approaches, where interpreters would do a lot of things that compilers had been doing beforehand. And there's other ideas where compilers try to do a lot of tricks in order to have some kind of reference benchmarks to get some idea of how code behaves during runtime in order to do some other stuff and all that. So these very clear ideas of how interpretation, how compilation works, are not so much intact nowadays anymore, but they tend to be somewhat they approach each other and get closer by the year. So yeah, for our purposes, still we will focus on techniques that classically had been found in these classical compilers without really insisting on them being still relevant for compilation only. There's a lot of interpretations, particularly since the introduction of these mainstream virtual machine based languages, where the techniques that we formerly found in static compilers now also are used within interpreters. So that's about that. Yeah, so this is for you. Again, a few of the core influences that the decision whether to do interpretation or compilation has on your behavior. So in the interpreter world, you usually don't do any pre-computations of program text, so since there's no computation going on, you can have a very short startup period where you don't do a lot at all and just start chipping at the program and start devouring your first inputs. However, those interpreter-based things tend to have another property, which means that as soon as you have read, for example, the first few bytes of input, that might be very crucial to the complete run of the program. Since, for example, in your input file, you would have the configuration of the whole run of this program stored in the first few bytes, then there's a lot of, for example, constants set at the beginning of the program which don't change anymore, which gives the interpreter a lot more information to perform specific aggressive optimization, for example. So this is context information that is very helpful for performing actual aggressive optimizations. That is only available when you actually have context, which means that you already have the input present at the time where you do compilation. And this is what the interpreter can benefit from. The other side would be the compilation approach, where, of course, after a little bit of startup overhead, you would have already done a lot of the computations necessary during execution and store them somewhere to be used as soon as you hit a particular location in your program execution. So this would mean that the runtime would have a smaller overhead being executed in that sense. And this is what classical compilation is all about in most of the time. Yeah. So next thing to have a look at is what a compiler is actually looking like. So we already said that a compiler would get the program code as input and would do a lot of computations and produce actual code that then can be interpreted very close to machine code, and is thus just depending on a small runtime executable runtime environment. What is necessary within a compiler in order to come from program code to actual intermediate code, that's what we call that, are two general phases, which is analysis phase and synthesis phase, and in between it has some way of storing what it has done so far, which is the internal representation of a compiler. And in the beginning, we will focus on the analysis phase of the compiler, which by itself has also several steps. So if we then look into the analysis phase, we start with analyzing the program code for units of interest, which we call tokens. So the phase that we do in that part is the lexicographic analysis, which partitions the program code into these tokens. The name for that phase is the scanner, and yeah, that's what this puts out to be used in the next phase is the so-called token stream, which is the outcome of this partitioning into tokens. So what comes next is the so-called parser. The parser is doing syntactic analysis, and what that means is it takes this token stream, which is just a linear stream of different things, and tries to find structure in there, particularly hierarchical structure. So it tries to construct tree-like constructs out of a flat token stream. And this output is what we then call the so-called syntax tree, which is, again, a thing that can be further processed by the so-called semantic analysis. And this will cover all the properties of source code that can't be expressed by strictly hierarchical structures. So there's things in there like type checker or other properties that are context sensitive. And you know, these are handled during the semantic analysis. And the output that's produced by these components that are doing the semantic analysis are syntax trees that are annotated by semantic properties. And thus, the data structure that we produce there is the so-called annotated syntax tree. Yeah, and this is what we'll focus particularly in the first part of the semester. So with that, I think you have rough idea of what the rough outline of this semester looks like. What are typical parts of that is what we see here. So the content on the way in there is we will talk about regular expressions and finite automata and how to implement them. So in contrast to what we have had in the theoretical computer science, we will be actually interested in finding practical implementations for these constructs. We will talk about how to do specification and implementations of scanners. So this complete module that we saw in action a little bit earlier on is usually specified in a very abstract way, and is producing an implementation out of that specification. That is a technique that we're going to look into. Another center of interest is context-free grammars and pushdown automata, things that we also know from theoretical computer science. And in order to use them for practical systems like a compiler, we will have to talk about specification and implementation of these things again. And that is where the concepts of top-down or bottom-up syntax analyzers comes into play, and each of them will be like a very major point that where we use a lot of our time for. So top-down parsing and bottom-up parsing are like other centers of interest of this lecture. Then we are going to look at approaches to perform semantic analysis, or we're trying to infer semantic properties of syntax trees. And the way that we can do that is specified in a very abstract way in things like attribute systems. And for those, we will look at the example of a type checker to see how we can use these theoretical ideas of attribute systems in order to perform a useful analysis. When we are done with that, we will have a look at the actual code generation as another application of attribute systems. So code generation can be formulated as an analysis that produces semantic properties that consist in the code that is produced for a particular part on the syntax tree. And that is what we will be looking at the end of the actual lecture. So I hope you get a rough idea what we will be seeing during this semester and how this whole semester will be carried out in terms of organization. And I'm happy to meet you, at least virtually, in our lecture or former lecture slot, now virtual classroom, on Thursday. So, yeah, have a few good days till then, and see you there. Goodbye.